So all you youngsters going back there, are you back in school? Are you back in school now? Carson, are you back in school already? Yep, he gave you a thumbs up. Samuel, you, yeah? Yeah, back in school? Yeah, yeah. All right, we're all back in there. Hadley, yeah? Bo? Yeah, yeah. Rich? I was going to say, we're all in the school of hard knocks, aren't we? I used to hate that, going back the first day back to school. It was usual that you could go back, and the first day was kind of easy, but a couple of times I'd go back, and the teacher, first thing they'd say is, take out a blank piece of paper, put your name on the top, we got a quiz. Did you ever have that happen? Very first day? You think, this isn't fair. You know, I didn't study. I found out later that they're testing you beforehand, then they test you at the end of the year, see if you learned anything. Gosh, if I'd have known that, I would have blown the first test. Would have made me look really good by the end of the year. The Old Testament's about a quiz. Believe it or not, Moses, he's not expecting to be tested, but here he comes. He's just hanging out with the sheep. You recall, we heard about him. Baby survives, goes into the ark. Remember the Tabao? And the Pharaoh's daughter pulls him out, disobeying her father. And he grows up, and then he has an altercation. He sees a Egyptian abusing a Hebrew, and they get into a struggle, and he ends up killing the Egyptian. So he flees, and he goes out, and he gets married, and becomes a sheep herd. So there he is out there, sheep herding, or shepherding, or however you want to say it. And he's just hanging out there doing the things that shepherds do, going about his life. And a burning bush occurs. You see that on the cover of your bulletin? Isn't that an interesting picture painting? I cited the artist, Deanna Harvey. She kind of captures that, doesn't she? The bush is burning. That's not so astonishing, but the bush is not being consumed. Kind of an amazing sort of sight. We see amazing sights every now and again, don't we? It is an angel of the Lord, Malach of Yahweh. That's angel. A Malach of Yahweh appears to Moses, and the bush is not being consumed. And Moses says, I must turn aside to see. And when he does so, it tells us two things. First off, he doesn't know the Lord yet. He's not aware. He hasn't had an encounter yet, but something occurs. And he turns aside to see. He pauses all the other things going on in his life, and he turns to see. And when God recognizes that he has turned aside, that he has Moses' attention, he says, Moses, Moses. And he says, here I am. Now, that's an amazing thing to begin with. Somebody calls to you out of a bush. How many of you are going to run and hide under a rock? Yep, Carson's got his hand up. Me too, Carson. Boy, I'll tell you what, that'd scare me to something fierce. Psychology 101 course, we study in several different studies. They did a survey of students in elementary school. And they said if a flying saucer, they had a teacher that actually would do this. They'd come on over the intercom and say, a flying saucer has just landed on the street outside. And there'd be three different responses. One group of students would hop up and say, I want to go see. Another group of them says, it's got to be a hoax. And another group would say, I'm going home to hide with mommy. That's not all that bad an idea. Moses had those options, but he chooses to turn aside to say, what is this? Here I am, he responds when it calls his name. I love the next part. God says, remove the sandals from your feet, for this place which you are standing is holy ground. He said, further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of Neo, the God of James, the God of Mark, the God of Joe, the God of Sandy, the God of all of us. And then Moses hid his face. Did he jump into the third group? I don't know there. But he hid his face, for he was afraid to look on the face of God. And that was the third test. The second test is when he responds, I am, here I am, okay, I'm listening. And the third test was, do you believe in God's incredible power? Do you acknowledge God as able to smite you with a single thought? Moses hides his face. He understands. He fears God. So he has passed the tests. So Moses tells him, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. He's seen their suffering. He's seen what's going on. They're being abused. They're being used. They're being fragmented, taught, you know, dealt with as a subhuman group of people, as slaves, as second-class citizens. And this is wrong. This is evil. And God is with those people. But Moses rightly begins to think this through, and he says, who am I to go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? If I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask, what is his name? What shall I say to them? I need a little something to show them that I'm not just a wild voice or a scam artist or a con. How do I prove to these people that I am your representative? At least tell me what name I should call you. And the Lord responds, I am who I am. Thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. Did you notice that in the song? I am, over and again, I am the rock. I am. Ego ame is the phrase. I am, the great I am. You've heard that written in different places. You've heard that in liturgy and scripture, the great I am calling, the great I am leading. That's where this comes from. Who shall I say sent me? I am has sent you. It's always created some interesting discussions, and I can easily see a comedy routine being made out of it, sort of like who's on first. I am sent you. But this is the great I am, the one who is all-powerful. And not all of them believe Moses at first, do they? Is it possible, here's the part where we get stuck in the middle of this, is it possible that there might be burning bushes being presented to us? How would we catch a glimpse of a burning bush in this modern era? How would we see some astonishing thing? You ever heard of advertising? That's not a silly question and redundant, and I mean, I'm hoping that all of you have heard of the advertisers. Companies pay advertisers a lot of money, and they pay a lot of money to bombard us. Super Bowl 2023, $7 million for 30 seconds of advertising. I can think of a few things I would do with $7 million that would be better than a Budweiser commercial. But think about how much is spent to get our attention. Smart people, wise people, intelligent people, people with a true track record, and they're working to make sure they get your attention, our attention. How is God going to compete with that? I am. Our Lord can do so. But you have to think a minute, because Moses had a lot on his plate too. There was a lot going on. He had to worry about the weather. He had to worry about wolves. He had to worry about feed. He had to worry about how much pasture there were. He had to remember to count the number of sheep. He had to worry about where he was going to shelter and what time of the season was it. When are they going to get sheared? And when are we? All of the things that were going on. He was a busy fellow. And he was married. And he had a father-in-law. And he had family. So there were a lot of things that could have distracted him from stopping and turning aside to the burning bush. Just like us. There's a lot of things that are vying for our attention. How do we discern them? I don't think we're going to see an email or a video on Facebook or YouTube or a post that tugs at our heart and that is an attempt by someone to go viral and get their 15 minutes of fame. And some of those are amazing and incredible, and they're worthy of a glance, but they are not the burning bush. How does God get our attention? God only knows. But God knows us. And God knows that there will be an ability to capture attention for a moment, and then it becomes a matter of your choice to pass the first quiz. Will you turn aside and say, I must study this thing that's going on. Something here is happening. And when we respond to the great I am, called by name, here I am. Now that's tough. Turning ourselves to give our attentions to the Lord, besides all of the other things that we got and all the things we have to keep up. I mean, gosh, every day I have to do the crossword puzzle every day or else. There's important things in my life. I have to get those done, and I have to read the comics every morning to find out what's going on with Sherman's Lagoon. And there's things in my life that are priorities. And am I going to be able to put this odd thing in front of those? Called by name, I am. And understanding God is great and omniscient and all-powerful. Jesus stands before God's directions, doesn't he? That's what's going on in the New Testament. He knows where he has to go. He has to go to Jerusalem. He has to stand before those who question. He has to endure suffering and pain and humiliation, and he must make that journey to the cross. He knows. He knows how he's been called. He knows what he's been called to do. Simon Peter doesn't get it. Simon Peter, they've got a great thing. I mean, think about how much fun it would have been to travel with Jesus. Travel around and watch him do things, watch him speak and watch people respond and see how the world was around them and learn at his feet. It would have been awesome. And Jesus says, I will have to go. And Simon Peter says, no, Lord, don't do that. This is good. What's happening right now is perfect. This is wonderful. Don't you do this. Don't leave this. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, temptation. Don't dissuade me. I know where I must go. I have been called by the great I am. I have been called by name. I know whose I belong to. It's easy to succumb to the temptations to maintain the status quo. You'll recall that Moses will go into Egypt and he will tell the people, we've got to leave here. We are slaves to the Egyptians. And they'll say, yeah, but you know, even though we're slaves and they make us work hard and they beat us with whips and they do have food on the table. We do have flesh pots, stew pots to eat out of. It's a rotten life, but it's a life. It's a life we know. We're familiar with it. We know the systems. And the status quo is hard to give up. We understand. We understand how easy it is to stay with what is and has been, instead of turning aside and pausing and saying, there's a burning bush here. There's something amazing happening. I must turn aside and listen. And listen for the still small voice of God. Listen for the I am calling out of the burning bush. Listen as we are called. We gather in that institution that Jesus established, knowing that he would be gone and it would be easy for us to wander astray. He established a ceremony. Let's turn to communion. Pastor Neil.